The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit RobertHalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaben, and this is your round one recap for this week's Houston Open. Joining me to break it all down, Kyle Porter is here. KP, happy Houston Open. Happy Sweet 16. Happy MLB opening day.
Yeah, amazing sports day. I told my 10-year-old son this morning, one of the great sports days of the year. And his response was, I said exactly what you said, Sweet 16, Major League Baseball opening day, and the Houston Open, of course. And he was like, I don't know that the Houston Open should be included in that. Okay, that's fair. Rick, I think my baseball fandom has mirrored yours in a lot of ways in that, I think, I don't want to speak for you, but was super into it growing up, in love with it in high school, going into college, kind of fell out of it post-college. And the last year or two, I've kind of gotten back into it. Is that what yours has been like?
100%, and I'll describe that. But why do you think that is? Why do you think that you are getting back into it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there are three reasons for me. One, my kids, specifically my sons, are into it. And that's part of it, but not all of it. I think the pitch clock is like, it's again, not all of it, but I think that's definitely part of the story. It just makes the games like 2.5 hours is a lot different than like 4.
Yes.
Right. And then I think three, I think there was some back, I don't know if backlash is the right word, but some like, okay, I've had so much baseball over the last 15 years of my life. I just need to like be interested in something else post-college.
I think that's fair. And that what you described, that journey is very much similar to mine. Recently, I'm stunned at a lot of the good things Major League Baseball has done. They used to be the poster boys for shooting themselves in the foot, and maybe they still are. But the pitch clock, I cannot believe how much better it is to watch games. I was not expecting that. I've gotten into more of the stars. Okay, so we went. It was like a 5-year. Period of if you even thought about pimping a home run, you'd get one in the ear hole. And now it's like encouraged and fun again, right? Like I feel like the unwritten rules have also gone away, which I don't know. It's a lot more fun to watch now.
I read an article about Ronald Acuna in GQ today. And it was talking about how he sometimes has like 5 different celebrations on the same home run. And you're reading it like, what? Like, and I'm in, like, I love it, but that's just not a thing that would have occurred in 2005. It is weird though, because you pick it back up and I'm like, God, is Chase Utley still around? Like, the only guys that you remember are like, is Cliff Lee still playing? You know, guys from I just named two Phillies, but guys from 15, 20 years ago that were stars. It's just, it's hard for me to kind of pick back up the star stuff. But I think one thing that's was not true when we were playing and following it growing up was all the data. And this is probably like not unique in sports. Like it's all sports have kind of gone that direction, but baseball is uniquely structured to like make use of it. I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but yeah. Have you felt that?
Yeah. So the two sports that I think do the best job of it, like in game are tennis and baseball. And it's a lot easier because, you know, you point all the lasers and cameras and everything at home plate. Right. Yeah. And the tennis court is not moving. Right. So it's a little bit, it's obviously a lot easier to do, but like that real time, I mean, exit velocity is now that's like a standard thing that you see on every single ball put in play. Launch angles, quickly overlaying how many ballparks that would have been a home run in. Like it is just so natural now, and they've done a really good job with it.
Yeah, I agree. And I've just over the last, I don't know, couple months learned like exit velocity. Like I feel like I'm really behind in terms of like where everything's at, which part of that, you know, I've got a buddy who, that I work out with, run with sometimes, and he is follows the majors, like in golf, follows the majors, but not much else. And the other day or several months ago, he's like, I saw the PGA Tour and Live thing. Like, I thought they merged. And you're like, I envy your ignorance. Mm-hmm. And I don't even mean that in like a negative way. I mean, I truly envy, like, and I'm sure there's like an underbelly of there is an underbelly of baseball, but I don't have to care about it. Like, I can just enjoy like all the fun stuff and the stars and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I get to be the ignorant baseball guy who's like, right. Yeah. Like, have you guys ever considered this? And like, yeah, we've considered it a billion times over. It is funny though, because I flipped it on today, and so I bought MLB.tv for like the first time in like 7 years.
What is 150?
I think it's like like 130, 140. It might be 150, something like that. Yeah. And I was like, all right, here we go. What game am I going to watch? And I'm like, they got to be all the aces. It's opening day. I'm going to get a bunch of aces. I didn't know anybody. I didn't see Clayton Kershaw's name. I didn't see like Roger Clemens' name. Like, I didn't see guys that I didn't know anybody. I'm like, these are the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah. There's a guy from Baltimore, Corbin Baines.
Sure.
I mean, this is embarrassing. Like, we're embarrassing ourselves. Corbin Burns, producer Josh says, and apparently he's amazing, but I was kind of going through the matchups this morning. I was like, I know like three guys. Barely. And I only know because I watched some of the playoffs last year.
So you know what I did is I watched I put the Reds on because I wanted to see Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah.
That's what I did. And I was happy with that.
Did they win?
Yeah, they smoked the Nationals.
So I think your tweet today, you tweeted out what's the one game I should watch? Or something like that.
Yeah.
If I can only watch one game, what is it? I think that concept is actually there should be I don't know, like a blog or a newsletter or a Twitter account, something that just gives you the game of the day, but not just the game of the day, but the reasons why.
So I thought that there was, that's what I was looking for. I remember, again, this is at least 7 years old. I thought there used to be some type of Major League Baseball, and I thought it was called watchability ranks. And it would look at, okay, what's the over under, what's the pitching matchup, what young exciting players are in this game, all that stuff. And it would score it out of 100 or whatever, and it would rank, you know, games 1 through 15 on what you would want to watch. I thought that existed. I could not find any evidence of that when I was looking last night.
If somebody had that newsletter, and maybe people can comment, or maybe a producer Josh knows, if somebody has that newsletter, I would subscribe to it, because I don't have time for all the games, and I don't have time for most of the games, but I'll throw a game on during the day, you know, just like while I'm in my office working.
That's the other thing for you and I, like, we're going to watch a lot of Cubs games because they play the day game. So I love nothing more than like the so out here it's the 10 a.m. game, and I'm like, this is awesome. Like, yeah. I'm watching baseball, live baseball, 10 a.m.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, so good. You know what else is fantastic? Scottie Scheffler. And he has already laid the hammer on the boys in Houston. Scottie went out this morning and shot a 5 under 65. It was bogey free. He is gaining 2.5 strokes to the field with the putter that is currently 8th. And there was a moment, KP, I won't spoil the end of the show, but there was a moment this morning that before half the field had teed off, Scottie's odds moved to minus odds. He was like minus 105 during that morning wave. So that is where we were at. If you thought, Scottie was going to cool off anytime soon, it wasn't going to be today.
Yeah, I caught it at like 3-2 were his odds whenever I saw it. But it was kind of bouncing around the negative, even 3-2, 2-1 area. He's extraordinary, you know. I didn't miss it. I saw it. I forgot to bring it up on Tuesday, but your comparison of him to a quarterback throwing averaging 900 yards passing a game was was so good. It was so funny. But also, like, I just, you talk about exit velocity being part of the vernacular now in baseball. The strokes gained is just not in golf. And I feel like you and I are going to make it happen. It might be 17 years from now, but and Solly from No Lane Up, we're going to push it through. That legislation is going to go through at some point, but today's not that day. But he's just, I retweeted it. Somebody on Twitter basically posted his approach play numbers. And the thing about Scottie that's so impressive, and I think Mark Immelman either talked about this or mentioned it or whatever, he just doesn't do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like people have called, this is the average yards per game. That's so funny. People have called Spieth like cocaine golf or like caffeine golf. Mm-hmm. Scottie's decaf golf, right? Like it's not going to give you a jolt of adrenaline, but it's going to win a buttload of tournaments. And that discipline, man, is just, I was on Shotgun Start today for the Friday guys. I said he could win 7 times this year. And that doesn't feel insane.
Well, I mean, he's like almost to 3, and he's going to play a lot of events that he's going to be a really good fit for. I want it now. Like, I want Scottie 3 in a row going to the Masters. Add that storyline to Rahm coming back, to the Liv stuff, add it to Tiger Woods is playing, add it to Rory going for the career Grand Slam. Inject, 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 inject.
No, I'm totally with you. It's to the point where it's historic now. I mean, we're getting into historic territory. I mean, the last 3 guys to win 3 in a row, what, Tiger, Rory, and DJ?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
That's a good crew.
Yeah.
So it in terms of coverage of the sport, like, it's great for us when something historic is happening and we've entered that territory with him and no end in sight. I mean, the putting is he hit, I think, 3 putts over 3 birdie putts over 10 feet today, something in that range. One was a 24 footer. So if he's doing that, it's like, okay, well, good luck, everybody, because it's not happening.
Yeah, we're 9 rounds into the new putter, and if this is the future, it's been real.
Yeah, thanks, Rory.
Yeah, thanks, Rory. When Rory finishes second to Scottie at the Masters, he will snap that spider in half
for the second time.
Oh my god! Out in the morning was Taylor Moore, 6 under 64. So he is currently, a couple guys still out on the golf course as we speak, but he is currently your leader. And Taylor Moore has had kind of a weird run here lately, KP. He won last year. He won almost exactly a year ago. He won the Valspar last year. And then the end of 2023 wasn't very good. It was pretty miserable. He has started to play a little bit better. He's made a lot of cuts leading into this. Last week at the Valspar, he had his best finish in a long time. It was a T12. So he's been rounding into form, but we see this kind of a lot. guy breaks out, gets, you know, first big win, and then kind of disappears for a little bit as they get their feet back underneath them.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, we talk about templates on the PGA Tour a lot, and it's, you know, I think there are times where you're like, okay, this guy could be a star, but then you give him time to grow into that. I think of who's the South African that won like two or three times in, yeah, Garrick Higgo. But you look closer at the numbers and you're like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think this is it. And that's sort of how you feel with Taylor Moore, where it's like, okay, yeah, you could win maybe a couple times in your career, have a nice, good career, but I just don't know that the star power is there. But I mean, listen, you win two times in 53 weeks or whatever, like that'd be a big deal. So he's got something on the table here over the next couple of days.
Yeah, he would sign up for that for the rest of his life. Win twice every 53 weeks, and it doesn't matter what else you do in between there. So he is currently 6 under. He is holding the lead at the moment. Also in that early wave was Alejandro Tosti. And KP, you know, he was, when we started this season, he would have been on the short list of guys that had us excited from coming up from the Corn Ferry. He not only is a great player, but he's got a little bit of a hot streak in him. And we haven't seen that translate to a lot of PGA Tour success just yet. His Thursday 66 was just
electric.
Yeah, a two pencil day for sure. 8 birdies, 4 bogeys, 6 pars. He made 4 birdies in a row from 2 through 5. I mean, it was special, but like, this is kind of what we want to see more of.
Yeah, he's a character. I mean, he's a character in the sense of like, I think this is sort of how he plays, but also like he does crazy, crazy stuff. So to see somebody like him and Scotty in contention would be very humorous, very different people, very different skill sets, very different everything. And, you know, styles make fights. That would be a fun one.
Oh man, that would be sick. Okay. We'll continue this conversation. There was a lot of big names that did not play well. We will cover those guys and then hit the ones that did in the afternoon wave. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KP, little bit of a disappointing day for the non-Scotty Scheffler big boys. Wyndham Clark, even par, that's a tie for 56th. Sahith, even par, that's a tie for 56th. Will Zalatoris is 4 over. That's a tie for 126th. Tony Finau, 1 under, but probably feels like he left a lot of strokes out there. You know, it just wasn't necessarily a banner day for the guys at the top of the betting board on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think the guy that sticks out to me is Zalatoris. You know, not just because he was the worst of the group, but also because he to me is I mean, he literally is among the favorites for the Masters here in 2 weeks, but also like in my mind, he's kind of right up there as well. I mean, thankfully I didn't tweet this. I thought during the Arnold Palmer that he should be the favorite for the Masters. Bad take.
Dodge that bullet by keeping that one in the drafts.
For sure. But, and Scotty like has shot 765s in a row since then, but he's the one that I'm kind of like, huh, what's, I don't think there's anything going on. It's just not necessarily what I thought he would do during this stretch, because he'd been so good at the start of the year.
Well, the thing that has my full attention is that he lost nearly 5 strokes putting
on Thursday. That.
So that, you know, magic long broomstick doesn't work every time. And that would be troublesome if this is in the range of outcomes with that putter, that's troublesome to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a little bit of like where Scotty was at, but without the built-in floor of like, I'm definitely going to be a top five ball striker this week. I think Zalatoris's floor is pretty high. It's not Scheffler high though. And so you get, he missed the cut at the Players, right?
Yeah, and I think it was pretty ugly there too.
Yeah, I think he was like, I think he shot like 80 one day or 78 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a problem both for winning, but also for like top 10-ing, because if your floor is not what Scotty's is, then you do have to putt it pretty decently to finish in the top 10.
Let's hit Tony Finau here. 1 under par, 69 for the defending champion. I think he was one of the more interesting golfers before the week started, just because I didn't know what we were going to get. What we got on Thursday, at least, was elite, elite ball striking. Second off the tee, 5th on approach. He gave a little bit back around the greens, and he gave a lot back on the putting surfaces. So that's, if you're going to struggle to a 69, this is kind of how I would want it to look. And maybe he bounces back on Friday and for the rest of the week, but he's a tough watch on the putting surfaces. Like just the eye test, he is a very, very tough watch.
Well, he's got the toe up like Hideki, right?
I just can't imagine how we got here. Like that is just so, it's not working and it looks bad. And no, like who would ever teach that? I just don't know how we got there.
The guys that have the toe up, and I'm sure there's a reason for this. I'm an idiot when it comes to like equipment stuff, but why wouldn't they just bend the shaft to account for that?
I don't know.
Clearly they're doing it to put their hands in a very specific position. I just can't imagine somebody liking the way that looks and feels as they get through the ball.
I have no idea.
It's so strange. I'd love to hear from Finau or anybody that Hideki on that. I think it'd be really interesting. But him and I think he was you said he was first in ball striking or second or something.
I said he was second off the tee, 5th on approach. So I'd imagine that would be pretty high up there.
Yeah. I have him as first in ball striking. So a good day. I mean, it's a little of the Scheffler thing from 5 tournaments ago where you're hitting the heck out of it and not making anything. By the way, Zalatoris 10th in ball striking and he still shot 75.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. He was bad around the greens too, which yeah. Tony was okay. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see Tony play just really good golf over the next 3 rounds and take some momentum into the Masters. It's time for him to like, okay, if you're going to compete in majors, you need to do it. you know, and I feel that way about a handful of guys. Cantlay, Xander, Finau's in that group. I think somebody like a Hovland still has a lot of time. And Cantlay and Xander are younger than Finau, but they're, to me, they're all in the same bucket of like, are you a major player or not? You know, and I think for Finau, like that, it's time.
The strangest thing I ever saw in person in terms of how people putt is I got paired up with this guy. He played right-handed. So he swings right-handed. We get up to the first screen and he pulls out a lefty putter. And I'm like, okay, I've seen this before. A guy, you know, swings one way and putts the other. No big deal. He then took the lefty putter, flipped it over, hit it right-handed, but just to the point where he only had access to the toe, right?
That's serial killer behavior. You should have exited the premises.
So let me tell you. Well, I'm like, this guy's going to make everything, because if you've figured out that this is your thing,
yeah,
you're you must be awesome at it. He was the worst putter I've ever seen. Like he was barely hitting the club face.
Well, that's
like,
the other.
He's giving himself such a small margin, and he was brutal. And I'm like, that can't be worse than what a normal putting stroke would be.
That's the other option: is you're either the best putter in the world or the worst.
Yeah,
like there's no in between. If you're flipping a left-handed putter over and hitting it, that's. I mean, I've tried some stuff. I think the one that I always go back to that's interesting is side saddle, what Bryson was doing for a while.
I mean, there's kind of a reason why it's not banned, right? But you can get into a position where it's very close to being like an illegal shot.
I don't know. I think it is banned. I don't know if it's like the anchoring thing where you're like, well, you can have your hand within like a centimeter of your sternum, right, but you can't have it on your sternum. I don't know.
Yeah. It's very, yeah. But I think there's probably a reason why that is maybe an advantage. As the afternoon wave is winding down, probably the most notable for me is Mackenzie Hughes, a 4 under 66, and KP, he's been trending a little bit here. So yeah, he went 30th at API, 26th at the Players. Then last week at the Valspar, he finished third. So we've got a trend line here, and now he is going to be two shots off the lead heading into Friday. Mackenzie Hughes continues to play great golf.
How many major top tens do you think Mack Hughes has? In how many starts and how many major top tens?
Well, I know he was in the final group at a US Open, but I'm not sure he finished inside the top 10 of that.
He did not.
Okay. So now that already my, you know, equilibrium is thrown off, because that stuff like that is possible. I feel like he did have another, I don't know. I'm going to say he's got two top 10s.
He's got one out of 17 starts.
Okay.
So T6 at that same year, 2021, the Open Championship with when Morikawa won.
Okay.
So he played great golf that summer. I brought that up because I would love to see Mackenzie Hughes get in the mix at a major. I think he's an interesting dude. I think he's fun. I think I think people don't know him. People don't know about him, but he's just I don't know. He's, to me, he's unique. And I think it'd be awesome if he was in the mix in a major championship.
So that 4 under 66, two shots off the pace. Wilson Furr is really the only guy, of course, out on the golf course right now who could make a dent and get to Taylor Moore, but that would be pretty unlikely. So very, very likely that Taylor Moore is our overnight leader. Josh, let's take a peek at those betting odds. And I will remind people that could get a little windy there tomorrow. Houston, the afternoon looks like you could get some wind, you could get some gusts, might not be so fun. So those guys who play in the morning, like Scottie Scheffler, are going to have to battle those conditions. Scottie, no surprise, your favorite here, plus 120. The only golfer in single digits, because Taylor Moore, who currently leads, is 10-1. Mack Hughes, 18. Bo Hostler, 22. Aaron Rye, 25. Everybody else longer than that. You might have guys that play well, but Vegas is preparing us for a Scottie Scheffler buzzsaw.
You know what I'm not feeling good about is my the field at minus 400 over Scotty.
Holy crap. Can I tell? So I will. We'll commiserate together. Okay. So you minus 400. I bet Carlos Alcaraz at minus like 450 to win this match that he's playing right now, and he's already down the first three games. So we are both just.
Oh, gosh.
This is the steamroller getting us now.
Is he playing Gasquet?
No. Yeah. First off, I think Alcaraz is like one of two tennis players I could name. I don't even know who the hell he's playing. So yeah, you know, the nickels in front of a steamroller, we're getting steamrolled right now.
Both of us just getting smoked. I don't really like any of these numbers. I mean,
take a guy who played in the afternoon today. So that would be like Mackenzie Hughes. And you hope that he goes out and puts together a couple under par, and then things get crazy in the afternoon. And hopefully that's enough to hold off Scotty or something like that. But I wouldn't be taking anybody that played this morning here.
Yeah. Was Finau this morning or this afternoon?
He played this afternoon.
I like that. I like him at 45. Number one ball striker.
Yeah.
Sorry, producer Josh said he's in the chat. He's 45 to 1, not 35. But best ball striker in the field. He's been awesome at this course. Just give me a flyer on him over everybody else on this board.
I'd be okay with that. Yeah. Defending champion, best strokes gained number at Memorial Park, and just knocked the cover off the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to get any argument from me.
Yeah, you're just betting on a couple putts falling and Scotty, I don't know, having another neck lockup or something.
Seriously. When's Meredith due?
It's a...
Normal question.
Yeah. It's a question that I do not want to discuss publicly because I don't want to opine on other people's pregnancies, but there's been some texts going around about that. I think it's post-masters, but I feel like it should have been asked to him at some point.
Yeah. I agree. I guess. Well, I mean, yeah, I have no idea, but my thought is, What if it's Sunday or Saturday night and he's got a two shot lead at Augusta?
Yeah.
Dan Hicks said Meredith is due in late April. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, I don't really want to talk about
that. Yeah, I know. But
like, my buddy just had a kid 3 weeks early.
Right. And late April to the Masters is only like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Remember when Hunter Mahan withdrew? Was it Hunter Mahan?
Canada, yeah.
And never won again, did he?
I don't think so. Remember when Danny Willett had his baby early and got to the Masters?
And changed the course of history.
He changed the course of Spieth's career and possibly the PGA Tour because Lee Westwood may have won that Masters, and then some of the live dominoes might not have been there. That's an all-time what if.
I need a 10-part series like the butterfly effect of golf.
Yeah. That's one of the books I want to write in the future is like the 10 best what ifs, because there's I think golf is particularly easy because you can talk yourself into like, oh, well, if Tiger hadn't existed, who would have the most wins? Like stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. You can talk yourself into a lot.
Yes. Probably too much.
All right. We'll be back Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night to break it all down and get you caught up on the Houston Open. For now, big thanks. Producer Josh does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, it's Kyle Porter. You can find him at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+.
Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.